We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to KDKA. Thank you very much for tuning in. 1020 on the AM dial. 93.72. If you have an HD radio, you can listen to us in Crystal Clear FM. You can also download the radio.com app and make sure you favorite KDKA. You can take us with you everywhere you go. And don't forget, you can also take advantage of the rewind feature, where you can go back and listen to anything that's aired in the last 24 hours. And my guess is you're going to want to go back and listen to this hour, because this is the time during the week, every Wednesday at 8 o'clock, we take some time to look back at KDKA history. And what a wonderful history it truly is, with so many fond memories for so many of us. We've gone back and looked at the founding of the radio station, spoke with Larry Richard already, went back and looked at the career of John Cigna, Jack Bogut, and tonight we'll take a look at the careers of two absolute standouts in KDK radio history, Reg Kordick and Uncle Ed Chauncey. And then we'll talk about the Pirates and their history on KDK. First, though, I want to go back, if we could, to a special regarding Reg Kordick. One of the things I just had no idea about until I started doing the research on Reg, I knew he was extremely popular. I knew that he was a standout talent, but I had no idea that he was so popular that there was a time when 85% of all the radios that were turned on in Pittsburgh were listening to his show. And here's a look back as to why.
And Reg Kordick took over.
Well, there was Carl Hartman, Bob Trow, and marvelous engineer Bill Steffen, and a number of other people, Sterling Yates, Charlie Swords, and Bob McCulley did a lot of the writing. And we'd get together two or three times a week in the afternoons to record pieces that were then used on subsequent shows.
Say, gang, here's something you hear everyone saying these days, no matter where you are.
At the baseball game.
Well, sure, I'd love to wear Bermuda shorts, but my knees are too bony.
In the operating room.
Yes, doctor, I'd love to wear Bermuda shorts, but my knees are so bony.
Well, the same thing happened to the pioneering souls at the Kordick and Company Research Labs, and that's what led to their great invention, Bermuda Knees.
With each of the characters, I was always the straight man. I enjoyed being a straight man. And with each of the characters, I had a different attitude. For instance, since you mentioned Carmen Monoxide, he was a punster. And my attitude toward Carmen was that he bored me to tears. You know, just leave me alone.
Well, good morning, Carmen. My, you're looking very effervescent.
Well, Ray, did you ever see me when I ever wasn't?
Boy, oh boy. That's going back a few years, isn't it, Carm?
I'll say, Ray. Oh, speaking of going back, Ray, yeah. Do you remember a kid we went to school with by the name of Nutsy Hergerberger? Herger?
Nutsy Hergerberger. Wasn't he the one that sat behind Norina Franciscina in Miss Stremenauer's homeroom?
No. You're thinking of Milton Butter.
Well, how about that?
Cause you'll never get rid of them, no matter what you do. Oh, you'll never get rid of them, no matter what you do.
Once again, we repeat, the football game scheduled for this afternoon between Pitt and Penn State has been canceled because of the snow. Here at KDKA, our emergency phone staff has been snowed under, too, with a staggering list of various social events that have been canceled, and it continues to come down. Now, here's the Ames Brothers' newest recording.
Reg Kordic, a man that people are still talking about to this day. And his talent was such that even though he's not been on the air in Pittsburgh for, my goodness, well over 50, maybe 55 years, he's still someone that is revered and memorialized. In fact, there's a website that's dedicated to him. It's called RegKordic.com, where you can go back and re-listen to so many of the bits that he did. The founder of that website is joining us now on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline, David Brown. David, welcome to KDKA Radio. Great to have you.
Thank you, Robert. Glad to be here.
I appreciate this. Talk to me about your experience with Reg and why you decided to want to create this page in his honor.
Well, my family moved to the Pittsburgh area in 1955 because my dad got a job with Jones and Laughlin Steel. And so I was in elementary school at that point. It shows you how long ago that was. Mm. But we started listening to KDKA almost immediately when we moved into the Pittsburgh area. And as I got older, I would listen to Reg during the morning as I would get ready for school. And in 1962, I asked my dad for a tape recorder, which he bought me, and then I started hooking up the alligator clips to the speaker lead of my radio and recording some of his routines while I was getting ready for school in the morning. And I accumulated some of them before we left the Pittsburgh area in November of 1963. But I have always liked the Reg's comedy, and it really appealed to me the way he worked his way, his magic with the Pittsburgh culture. And I went out later in my years and searched around for Reg to see where what had happened to him and found out that he'd gone out to L.A. But I found another website that was put up by a gentleman named Rick Collins. And I had a tape with some 40 different clips that I had recorded off of Reg's site in the morning, and I emailed Rick Collins and said, would you like these clips? And he said, yes, but I don't have the resources to put them all up on the web because I'm not in good health. And so he said, I can give you what I've got, and then could you put them up on a website? And so I thought, well, why not? And I went out and, to my delight, found that the web domain, RegKordic.com, was available for me to register. So I did that, and I started putting up my own material and then some of Rick's material. Rick unfortunately died not too long after he gave me his material, but I dedicated my site to him. And then I put out a call to everyone who came to the site to see if anybody else had any other material. And since then, I've gotten quite a few submissions from fans of Reg all over the country who found my website. And I also made some changes to the Wikipedia page for Reg to mention my website so people could find it from there. And some of the stories that they've told me about his influence on their life is pretty profound. One gentleman told me that he got his start in entertainment by being influenced by Reg Kordic. And he's gone on to a successful career in radio and television, and he's earned some Emmys and other awards, and he says, I owe it all to Reg. It gave me the impetus to get started. But other anecdotes that people tell me are just amazing. I've heard people tell me that because this was AM radio, this was the era of AM radio before FM got really popular. Mm-hmm. And so, when you say you have 85% of the Pittsburgh radio market in the morning, that's a significant chunk of people.
Right.
And Reg would do maybe 5 or 6 different skits during the hour. And he always managed to time one so that it was just before the news on the hour. And one person wrote and told me that their dad used to work at a Westinghouse plant in the Pittsburgh area. And his dad would listen to Reg in the morning, and he would pull into the parking lot just before 8 o'clock, listening to that last skit. Before he went into the building, and he said when that skit was over, car doors all over the parking lot would open up, and people would get out, and he knew that every one of them had been listening to Reg Kordic in the morning. So, and I've also heard from people who said that they knew of people who would pull off the road and park on the side of the road rather than drive through Mount Washington to get into downtown, because they knew they would lose the AM signal when they went into the tunnel, and they didn't want to miss the skit.
Oh, wow.
So, that kind of devotion to Reg is a real testament to how he really affected the city of Pittsburgh.
David Brown, the founder of RegKordic.com, I encourage you to go and check the website out for yourself and relive so much of what you experienced listening to Reg the first time. And if you've not heard him, absolute genius when it comes to writing and what he's been able to put together over his career and what he meant to Pittsburgh. David Brown, once again, joining us on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. David, thank you very much for your time.
You're most welcome, Robert.
Absolute pleasure to talk to you. Another remarkable story about a talent here at KDKA is Uncle Ed Chauncey and what he meant to KDKA. It's coming up next on KDK Radio. I'm Angino. Thank you very much for tuning in to KDK Radio. This Wednesday and every Wednesday all the way through 2020, we take a look back at KDK and the anniversary, 100 years. 100 years. It'll officially be coming up in November. And we're looking back on remarkable careers and just a little bit of a glimpse in this show. We started off with Reg Kordic and now Uncle Ed Chauncey, and I can't think of a better way to kick this segment off than with this.
It was in the early 30s that KDKA hired a young man from Beaver, Pennsylvania, Ed Chauncey.
They said they would give us $10 a week if we would act out those little skits. And they would only last for about 5 minutes, but it was all part of the KDKA Kiddies Club. We had a lot of fun. But we at least got our foot in the door.
Mike Pintek, remembering Uncle Ed, with us right now on the Disc Institute of Pittsburgh Newsline. You know him as a political analyst, but he had a career here at KDK Radio as a producer and executive producer. Bill Green joining us. Bill, good to talk to you again.
Thank you, Robert. It's nice to be with you. I just had a thrill listening. I hadn't heard Ed's voice in I don't know how many years, and to just hear it right now is just wow! I've got tears and everything. I got mixed emotions hearing that voice. What a great voice, isn't it?
Absolutely wonderful voice. Do me a favor. We have a little bit of a difficulty with your connection. If we can get to a better spot, I'm hoping to be able to complete this interview with you. The part about Ed, that just amazed me was the way that he was able to have such longevity at KDK Radio. My understanding is that he started in 1932 and was a part of KDKA all the way through till 1980.
Right.
Bill, that's 48 years.
I know. And in different jobs, and he did them all very well and very professional. He was one of the early stars of radio nationwide. And he was just a congenial and cordial man, and a lot of fun to be around. And when he was with Bogut, he would do the 8 a.m., the 10 a.m., and the 12 noon newscasts, as I remember.
Mm-hmm.
He and Jack would bounce off each other, and Jack would always make sure that Ed laughed at the end, because Ed had this wonderful laugh that came from the belly all the way up. And so they got along very well. And the news was delightful, because Ed always had a positive spin on the news. He always had a great kicker at the end of some humorous thing that happened in the city the day before. And that's why he became Uncle Ed. Everybody loved the man. And he just loved his audience, and they loved being on the air. You know, people wonder what it's like to be on the air. It's a thrill if you're in broadcasting to turn on a mic. And Ed loved every single moment of it. 48 years. Unbelievable.
Sure is. Bill Green joining us, former producer, executive producer here at KDK Radio back in the day, was able to work with Uncle Ed. Bill, people always want to know, is he really like that in person? Does he put off as something different on the radio as compared to having a private conversation? Give us a behind-the-microphone look at Uncle Ed.
Well, you know, after 48 years on the air, it's hard to hide anything because the audience picks up everything, don't they?
Yes.
And when you're in 48 years, it's pretty hard not to be transparent. So what you heard is what you got, whether it was down the hall. I must say he told great, how can I put this, dirty jokes, all right? He told great dirty jokes, which you wouldn't hear on the air, but they were hilarious in the hallway. And as a testimony to Ed, the engineers loved him. And you know how engineers can be, right? Mm-hmm. And this is a time where we had engineers all over the place at the radio station. It's not quite that way anymore. But they loved him, and they supported him. If he missed something or whatever, they'd always cover for him. And that's the ultimate in respect. And he gained that from everybody he dealt with. And behind the scenes, he did tell stories. He did enjoy a shot or two at lunch, and he always smoked a cigar, and mm-hmm. he had this great twinkling eyes. And when he was about to tell the punchline, the eyes got more twinkle, if you will, and they'd spit it out, and you just double over. And that was Ed Chauncey, and God, what a loss. He was just. But fortunately, we had him for 48 years. In broadcasting, and he also did television. Did you know that?
I did not know he did TV too. Tell me about that.
Television when it was still Dumont and Channel 3, if you can remember back that far. And he was one of the very first personalities on television, long before Bill Burns in the news. So Chauncey was big in television and radio before you and I ever heard of radio or television.
Absolutely remarkable. Uncle Ed, 1932 to 1980, a remarkable career. And he started off, if I understand right, he was a part of the morning show then went to afternoons for a while.
That's right.
And then decided that the best thing for him was to go back and then be a straight news reader. Just a testimony to, one, his range of what he was capable of doing. And then what he ultimately meant to the station and to the region as a whole.
And remember, I was there from 69 to 75, the morning news guys came in at 5:30 a.m. Now, Ed was no longer a kid, but he was there at 5:30 a.m. every single morning.
Wow.
That takes some energy. As I've gotten up older, I realized that to do that, drive wherever he was driving from, and mm-hmm. then get in there and be prepared and do a newscast. You know what it takes to do that.
That's right.
And he was doing it, you know, at the tender age of 60 plus. so I think that's a testimony to his enjoyment of the business. And as you say, his ability to be as flexible and can change back and forth. And when there was serious news, he was the guy you listened to. And when there was something jovial, he was the guy you listened to.
Bill Green,
universally loved and universally adored. So
yes.
God bless Uncle Ed Chauncey.
Bill Green, thank you very much. Here's Uncle Ed saying goodbye.
It was all over. And I remember the end of that last broadcast.
I won't say so long, Mike, because I'll be seeing old Mike from time to time and saying hello to you if a sponsor deserves your trust. You're the best friends a fella could have, with whom I visit every day, and strangely, paradoxically, whom I've never had a chance to meet. So, a heartfelt handshake to you men, and a kiss on the cheek to you ladies. Thanks. May life bring you as much happiness as you brought to Gertrude and me. So long, old friend. And to the rest of you folks, including my fellow employees, please try to understand just this little person-to-person chat. May I return you to the man from whom I've stolen this time? One of the finest men I've ever met in all my 48 years with this wonderful station whose call letters I've said with pride. KDKA, Pittsburgh, so long.
So long, Uncle Ed. We love you.
Welcome. I'm Angino. Thank you very much for tuning in to KDKA 1020 on the AM dial, 93.72. If you have an HD radio, you can listen on that and get crystal clear FM quality. You can also download the radio.com app. And when you do that, make sure you favorite KDKA. And when you do, you can also pause live radio and take advantage of a wonderful feature called Rewind, where you can go back over the listen to anything you want to in the past 24 hours just by taking advantage of that neat little feature. You can also go to kdkradio.com, podcasts of everything put up there. We are celebrating 100 years. That's what this is all about. Every Wednesday throughout 2020, it was in November of 1920, that we had the first broadcast of election results. It was August 5th of 1921 when we first had a baseball game broadcast over the radio. Harold Arlen, a foreman at Westinghouse, announced the game on KDKA, and he did it from a box seat next to the first base dugout at Forbes Field. And then what really made the difference and got people just into the idea of pirate baseball on radio was Rosie Roswell.
Those returning GIs couldn't wait to hear Rosie Roswell.
Any day,
there goes one. You don't need a raise in that many. There it goes clear out over the scoreboard. Over into Shenley Park, a round tripper for Ralph Kiner's first of the 1948 season.
Oh, did he?
Let's hope that it's the first.
Bob Prince was one of those who helped Rosie with his special effects.
Rosie was the fellow that, if you knew his expressions, and they certainly did in Pittsburgh, they loved him very much. He was sort of the Edgar Guest of the baseball. Get up there, Aunt Minnie, raise the window, and the old dipsy doodle, and get up and put a handkerchief on his head. Of course, I had to stand up there with a tray full of cowbells and glass and everything. He'd blow the whistle, and he'd say, get up there, Aunt Minnie, and raise the window. And he'd blow the whistle, and he'd nod his head, and I'd drop the tray full of bologna and all the debris all over the studio. And then that sounded like breaking glass. And then he said, she never made it. Tripped over the garden hose. She never made it. A round tripper for Ralph Kiner.
And to talk about pirate baseball on KDKA, we are joined by the voice of the Buccos, Greg Brown. Greg, welcome back to KDKA Radio. Good to have you.
Hey, Robert, it's good to be on. Thanks for having me on a special night, a trip down memory lane for sure. I caught a little bit of the Reege Kordic segment, and I was reminded that, of course, I spent some time in the Pirate front office. And in 1987, Major League Baseball and the Pirates worked to put together a 100-year anniversary of the Pirates, and it was an hour long. We called it the turn of the century. I was involved in the production of it, but looking for a great, strong voice. And I don't know who it was that suggested it. We must have talked to someone at KDK Radio at the time about who should be our narrator, and someone suggested a former voice of KDKA, and he had been working, I guess he had moved to L.A., and the Reege Kordic was our narrator, and I don't think there's a better narrated sports film that I've ever heard, aside from the old NFL films of John Facenda.
Oh,
him
boy.
Aside, because he, I think he's in a different category altogether, but Reege Kordic just nailed it. A one-hour-long segment. It is, I'll tell you, if any Pirate fan has not ever seen the 100-year anniversary of the Pirates called The Turn of the Century, produced in 1987, narrated by Reege Kordic, do yourself a favor when we're all missing baseball and grab that, because that was something special. And as you mentioned, the Rosie Rosewell and the great history of Pirates broadcasters going back to when it all began, that, as you said, the box seats in 1921 with Harold Arlen. And you know, Robert, must have been about 4 years ago, I think it was the 95th anniversary, I contacted the grandson of Harold Arlen, was a top college pick in 1966 by the Philadelphia Phillies. He was an outstanding pitcher. His name was Steve Arlen, a college pitcher for the Ohio State Buckeyes, a bonus baby for the Philadelphia Phillies. I think they spent $100,000 to sign him. It was Harold Arlen's grandson, Steve, who became a pitcher in the big leagues for a couple different clubs, mainly for the San Diego Padres. And in, I think it was 72, the Pirates were playing the Padres at Three River Stadium, and the stars aligned because they brought Harold Arlen back into the broadcast booth to broadcast the first three innings with Bob Prince. Imagine this. Bob Prince and Harold Arlen are broadcasting a Pirates-Padres game. Harold Arlen's grandson, Steve, is pitching for the Padres against the Pirates. And Harold Arlen, the pioneer of baseball broadcasting, is announcing the game in Three River Stadium over the airwaves of KDKA with Bob Prince. Incredible.
Absolutely amazing. I mean, my cheeks are hurting just smiling hearing you tell the story. I'm feeling the goosebumps on this. It's just a perfect story to articulate how important Pirate Baseball has been on KDKA, and what an experience to be able to go back on for a little while and call a game, and your grandson is a part of the game. What an amazing memory. Let me ask you this
moment. I'm sorry not to interrupt, but I tried to finish up the story there, Robert. The reason I brought up Steve Arlen is because in the anniversary of the first broadcast, I contacted Steve Arlen.
Mm-hmm.
And so about, this would have been, I want to say 2015. It was August on that date for a pregame show. I contacted Steve Arlen, who was a dentist. After his playing career, a pitcher, and this was Harold's grandson, Steve Arlen, and I had him on for a pregame show. We talked about what his grandfather had told him about the years, and we reminisced about that 1972 game when Harold was in the broadcast booth. Unfortunately, Steve passed away less than a year later at the age of 70. They were from Mansfield, Ohio, the Arlens, by the way, because after he left KDKA, he was employed by KDK about 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
He was reassigned to an area outside of Mansfield, Ohio, by Westinghouse.
Wow. Let me ask you this. When you decided to come on and worked for the Pirates. How important was the legacy of the broadcasters that came before you?
Well, you know what's funny about that, Robert, is that I think kind of like you, because you're a Newcastle guy, aren't you?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so you grew up listening to KDKA. I mean, you're, right. You're doing this program, and so for me, the KDKA was I grew up listening to KDKA as a kid. I mean, in central Pennsylvania, I mean, KDKA was my companion, was my friend. I was a Pirate fan, but I loved Pittsburgh. I wanted any connection I could as a youngster growing up. And so after school, this is in my high school years, I would lock myself into my bedroom in Mechanicsburg, PA, and fidget with my transistor AM radio and look forward to when the sun went down, because then it would become clear. But my friends were not only Lanny Fratteri and Milo Hamilton, but they were, you know, Roy Fox and Trish Beatty and Art Palin was the Undercover Club with Bob Logue and Jack Bogut and Perry Marshall. Those were my friends, along with the broadcasters, and that's why. And I feel like, you know, this is a horrible time the nation and the world is going through, but I really do believe that what's happening is there is a, where people are returning to their roots, their comfort level. That's why people like you and KDK have become so important again. Local radio, return to the authority, to the companion, to the friendship. And that's what KDK was to me. So not just the history of Pirates broadcasting. I grew up a baseball nut and a broadcasting fanatic. Listening to play-by-play, but also to the station itself and the personalities. And then when I came on board, when I became a member of the front office and got to know those people, because I produced commercials. I would go to KDK every day.
Oh, my, I didn't know that. Do me a favor. Hold on right there. I have to pause for a moment. And we'll come back. Greg Brown is joining us, the voice of the Pirates, and we're reminiscing a bit about Pirate Baseball on KDKA and so much more. Back in with more in a moment on KDK Radio. Good evening, I'm Angino. We are talking about KDKA and the 100-year anniversary, and this half hour is all about the Pirates. You think about radio, and we were talking earlier about Reach Cordic, and you look at the morning shows that KDKA has had, and how you can look back, oh my goodness, 60 years, and you have Reach, and then you go to from Reach to Jack Bogut, and then Cigna, and then Larry. I mean, just how few people have dominated morning radio on KDKA for so long. And then you look at Pirate Baseball and on radio, and how it's been dominated by really a very few number of broadcasters. You go back to Rosie Roswell, where he started back in 36, and he went all the way into like 55, and then you pick up with Bob Prince, that takes it all the way to about 75, and then Lanny Fratteri comes on board and is the broadcaster for 29 years, and now it's you as the lead for this. What a remarkable history of stability and great. I mean, we're talking about, in my opinion, some of the greatest broadcasters in sports in all of Major League Baseball.
Well, I mean, and I certainly don't put myself, and I've been there a long time, but it would take a lot longer to be able to come close to their legacies. I mean, I'm awfully proud of all the years, because people have mentioned that to me, that only Prince and Lanny have broadcast more games than I have, and I don't even to me it's an out of body experience, Robert, to be honest with you. And I think maybe when I hang it up, I'll be able to really pay closer attention to that. But I'm still a fan of baseball announcing in general, radio, baseball on the radio. It's a perfect marriage. It paints the picture. I mean, it just, it's summertime. It, you can carry it with you. You know, back in those days, of course, you mentioned Rosie and the Gunner, Bob Prince, and Nellie King was with him for a long time. Back in those days, at times you'd sit around, because they weren't on television, you'd sit around the console in your living room with your family and listen to baseball on the radio. And then it morphed into the transistor, and people would be listening to it on the porch. And people still to this day tell me stories of they used to listen to Bob Prince, and you could walk down the street on the south side, Carson Street, wherever you were, Bloomfield, Bridgeville, it doesn't matter, Mount Lebanon, Brookline, and you walk down the street and you wouldn't miss a pitch, because everyone would have those transistors on their porch, on their porches, sitting there listening to the game at night. Mm-hmm. And you could walk along listening to each person's transistor radio, and then you could eventually carry it with you doing chores, and then the car radio, and now of course it's digital, and you could carry it literally anywhere with you around the world. We get, you know, we're on Twitter now, and we get reactions from people around the world, especially when we were in the playoffs in 13, 14, and 15, and the Jolly Roger was really in vogue, and people got caught up with that. People would send me pictures of they were raising the Jolly Roger in places around the world. And so that, you know, again, you start with Harold Arlen in 1920 to where we are today. It's a remarkable story about communication, about the sport of baseball, and about KDK radio. You think about what that is globally, you almost cannot comprehend how great that is and how important that is to so many people.
I want you, because I only have about 2 minutes left here, but if you could, two phrases that are just identified to you, Raise a Jolly Roger and Cannonball Coming, how did they develop?
Well, it would take more than 2 minutes, but I'll quickly, when I was in the front office, I always thought that the Pirates needed to do something at Three River Stadium, like they do at Wrigley Field. When the Cubs win, they put a big flag up on top of Wrigley with a W on it. And I went to a front office executive and I said, how about if we put up a skull and crossbones so that people downtown could look across, even a late night game, and they would know if the Pirates won, they'd see that skull and crossbones. He dismissed me on that. And then when I became an announcer, Bob Walk pushed to do something for me. He said, you know, Lanny does it, the Gunner did it, you should have a call. And he said, you know, that flag is known as the Jolly Roger. What about Hoist the Jolly Roger? And then it became Raise the Jolly Roger. Clear the Deck, Cannonball Coming. A buddy of mine was having a party one night, and he called me very late at night, and he said, we've got it. A bunch of guys said, we thought about how cool it would be to do something piratey. And he said, what about Clear the Deck, Cannonball Coming for a home run? I tried that out. It took hold. And nice. That's how that all started. And now it's become kind of like, I tell people, it's almost tribal. People love the Jolly Roger because we can all use it together as a pirate nation.
There you go. Greg Brown, thank you so much for this half hour. It means the world to me.
Hey, Robert, thanks a million for having me on.
Absolutely. Joining us again next week, every Wednesday, 8 o'clock, we take a look back at KDKA Radio's centennial year.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.